Welcome to the Cream of the Crop podcast. Today we have Jordan Carter, who's the president of the National Watermelon Promotion Board. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, Bristol. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
We're so excited for you to be here as your announcement that has come out about being the first female president of the National Watermelon Promotion Board. I'm so excited to have you and we get to talk about all the girl things.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Well, if you'll just tell our listeners what you do, what is your job? Tell us how you got to where you are.
I am the director of sales and marketing at Legier & Son. We're a watermelon grower shipper based in Cordial, Georgia. Some may know that little city as the watermelon capital of the world. We like to say that we are anyways. And so my role as the director of sales and marketing, basically I handle the daily sales transactions. I take care of the marketing, whether that's via website or social media or at trade show events. And me and my family, we live in Cordial. We reside in Cordial. My husband, Joey, he's in the concrete business. And my eight-year-old son, he's in track and he plays the guitar. So we're just living our best life here in the watermelon capital of the world.
That sounds like a perfect life. I'm honestly jealous. I did want to talk about you just personally before we dig into this watermelon stuff. And you sent me a bio that we like to post with our podcast and I kind of circled some things in it because I'm so intrigued. All I saw was that there were diamonds and there was yoga involved. So tell us about the diamonds and the yoga.
Yeah, absolutely. So through most of high school and college, I worked at a jewelry store, Crenshaw Jewelers here in Cordial. And so I worked in diamonds, loved that. You know, what girl wouldn't love diamonds? And then as far as the yoga is concerned, so I've been training, my personal trainer is a good friend of mine. And I trained with her for so many years. And we just started talking about, you know, let's get together and I'll train and you go get your yoga certificate and let's do this. So I'm like, okay. So I go and I do it and I get my 200 hour training and certificate. And then in 2019, we opened up Soul Shine Studio, which is a fitness yoga studio. And it's been a really cool venture.
What a fun time. I just love that you are so well-versed in the watermelon ag side of the world, but you're also well-versed in diamonds and yoga. It's about balance, right?
That's right.
And you have what is your degree in? I know that it's something to do with fashion, right?
Yeah. So I did not come from agriculture, at all. I came from fashion merchandising. So I have a Bachelor of Science in that. And then in 2012, I received my MBA from Georgia Southwestern. So in 2013, I was just kind of stuck. I was working for an insurance company and great family, but I knew it was not what I wanted to do, you know, for the rest of my life. And so, the story is that my father-in-law and my boss now are, they're good friends. And so in 2013, my father-in-law says, "Hey, Jordan, you know, I have a friend, he's an ag, he does watermelons. Why don't you just go talk to him? He's looking for somebody." And I was like, "Oh, okay. You know, I'll do it. What do I have to lose at this point?" So I come and I talk to him and, anyway, he hires me on the spot and I had no idea anything about ag, for sure nothing about watermelons except that I like to eat them. And so here I am today, a director of sales and marketing and now the president of the National Watermelon Promotion Board. It's been kind of a roller coaster and a little bit surreal, but I'm really humbled my positions at both places. But
I just love how nonchalantly you say that. Like, yeah, I knew nothing about ag, but now I'm kind of like just a bad mama jamma, like taking over everything. I love that you said that you were stuck in 2013. And what's so cool, and I am going to want to highlight this because I just love the fact that you said that, is that even in those moments of feeling stuck, like you were propelled forward into now what has become like what it sounds like your dream career, right?
My first year at Legier was pretty tough. It was a not so much of a good year. There was a lot of rain,
oh no.
A lot of crop issues. And so in addition to not knowing what I was doing, everybody was pretty angry because of the situation at hand. So, it was rough, but you know, something, you know, about the atmosphere and the people and, you know, of course the product just kept drawing me in. And I said, you know what, I can do this and I'm going to do this. And so I just jumped right in after that first year head first. And now I feel like I eat, sleep and breathe it. So I developed a passion for it, a passion that I didn't know that I could have, you know, for watermelon. And I owe that to, you know, the company that I work for and the people that I talk to on a day-to-day basis.
So it sounds like even though that first year was rough, it just kind of made you want to get it even more. You're like, I'm going to do this. Yes. I'm going to be better. That's awesome. I know that you said your son is 8. Yep. So did you have a new baby at the time of starting this?
I did.
Oh my gosh. You're a superwoman. I'm telling you.
He was 6 months old.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how you did it. Just working with watermelon growers here at Highland, I think about how fast paced that industry is and how quick their seasons are. And, you know, people are just moving and it's crazy to have a baby in the midst of that. Props to you.
It was intense. But, you know, again, going back to, you know, the people and the product and everything, it's so intense for about 5 to 6 months. You don't know if you're coming or going. You don't even know what day it is. And there's something about that I love, the intensity, the rush of it all, the adrenaline that I get. And so even though I had a 6-month-old baby, I loved it. It was like the more stuff I had on my plate, the more to do, the harder I worked and the better things were.
That's me. Everyone makes fun of me. They're like, are you ever going to stop? Can you just slow down? Like, take a breath. And I'm like, no, the more that's going on around me, like, I'm thriving. Give me all the things
that's
to do.
Exactly right.
So I definitely get it. I want to unpack what you said about the intensity. I tell listeners that may not be familiar with watermelon production, like, why is it so intense? Like, what's going on during those times?
So the intensity is harvesting time. You've got to get out there at the right time to harvest. Sometimes when you go out there, you know, today I may be saying, hey, I'm going out there and I'm harvesting and I'm going to cut X amount of buses and we're going to get this many loads out. And then you get out there and the fruit's just not ready. And so then you've got to whip trucks around, or now you've got to call your customer and say, hey, the fruit's not ready, I can't get it to you. Well, then that makes them angry, you know? So it's a juggle to do it. And so the intensity, I mean, it starts at the field level, goes to packing house, the trucking, and then into the retailer. And it's just, you know, your phones are ringing constantly and it's, you got to make everybody happy or try to make everybody happy. And we all know that's not an easy job. So.
Impossible.
Yeah. But watermelons, it's definitely one of the more intense products that are shipped just because it's for such a short amount of time and there's just so much production in that time frame.
Yeah, I see the watermelon buses around our trucks around us here in Central Florida. And it is crazy to me how much watermelon can come out of one field. I'm like, you
Absolutely.
Just filled up busloads of watermelons just in a casual morning. Are you involved in like the direct contact with the farmer and the retailer, the buyer, all of that? Like, are you the one that's actually making those phone calls?
Yeah, so I, you know, for the most part, my boss, he is the one who talks to the grower, the farmer. He's the one who's mostly in direct contact with them. And then I am the one who is mostly on the phone with my buyers or my sourcing managers. I'm staying in touch with them on a weekly, daily basis, whether it's, you know, product availability, volume, maybe issues going on at the field level, anything like that. I'm the one in the office usually handling that side of things.
So for about 6 months, you don't get a full night's sleep is my guess.
No.
You're quick to answer that one. Oh my goodness. I don't want to lose sight of you achieving all of this in such a short amount of time. And I think that really the reason I wanted you on this podcast was to talk about the fact that you were elected to the National Watermelon Promotion Board. I have a question though, and excuse me for sounding silly, but I would really like listeners to understand, what is the National Watermelon Promotion Board? I think we hear of a lot of associations and all these different things, but it's not often that you hear the crop and the word promotion and board all together. So what does that even mean? What do you guys do?
The NWPB works to increase consumer demand for watermelon through research, promotion, educational programs. We are a nonprofit board, and the board is led by an administrative staff that's based in Winter Springs, Florida. The board is made up of 30 members who are appointed by the Secretary of Agriculture. So kind of a big deal there. There are like four major branches of the promotion board. So you've got research, you've got your marketing, you've got your food service, and you've got your communication. And so the board just really will not, well, the board is, we kind of oversee everything and help lead the staff in the direction that it needs to go. But as far as who does the legwork, the staff, I mean, they're the real rock stars behind the board. They do an amazing job at keeping watermelon in the forefront, whether it's, you know, at the retail level, whether it's on social media, whether it's on menus. They're the ones who are really putting their best foot forward, and they're amazing. I just can't even say enough about them.
How do you guys determine what you want them to focus on? It sounds like you said that like your role would be to kind of direct the staff in the direction of making watermelon, increasing that consumer demand for watermelon. What does that look like? How do you get your footing on how to lead them? Where does that come from?
So as a board, they may come to us and say, hey, we're thinking about, obviously we oversee the budget, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And overall, the NWPB, the USDA oversees, the National Watermelon Promotion Board, but the board, actually gives the staff direction as far as the budget is concerned, or maybe things that we want to see. So let's say that, as far as food service goes, they want to go to a show, a culinary institute or something like that. And they want to work on getting watermelon on menus, and they're going to this culinary institute to do that. Well, we're like, okay, well that's great. That's fabulous. Let's do it. And so they'll present their ideas to us. They'll tell us maybe what that is, what that budget looks like. And we'll approve it or not approve it. Those kind of things like that.
Okay, so that sounds like such a fun time. I'm like, heck yes, sign me up for this. Like, that's awesome to think about, like the power that the board has in making watermelon more known and more craved, I think is probably a big thing too, is making consumers want it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some projects you guys are currently working on?
So projects, like I said, food service, menus. Watermelon is predominantly found in like drinks, as far as, you know, food service and menus and things like that go. So just expanding that, to maybe be in like entrees or, you know, using the whole watermelon, be more sustainable, going back to the basics, learning about the farm. This past winter, they did a winter melon, deal, like through social media, that talks about how you winter your watermelon, or I forgot the phrase, but anyway, just things like that. They're always getting watermelon out there. So they do a great job.
Just doing all the promotional side, that sounds like so enjoyable. I keep saying this, but I'm like in heaven right now. I love that kind of stuff. And something I heard recently was in the strawberry industry, because we like to call ourselves the winter strawberry capital of the world. So we're not quite the watermelon, but we'll go for strawberries. So
that's cool. I like it.
Yeah. We talk about a lot, in the industry that anywhere that you have tomatoes, you can replace those for a strawberry. So we have like strawberry tacos and like all these different things that you would never think about putting a strawberry on, but it's very similar makeup to a tomato. I wonder if there's something like that with watermelon that you could do to make people start eating watermelon, you know, aside from just their fruity beachside drinks.
Absolutely. So on the NWPB website, which is watermelon.org, there are endless amounts of recipes and things that you can do with a watermelon, whether that's pickling the rind or grilling the watermelon or making a sorbet with the watermelon or your favorite cocktail. I mean, the options are truly endless. And the board has done a great job of getting watermelon in more recipes. And you know, everybody's, you know, really, it seems like food waste is a big issue today. And so that came about really a couple of years ago. And so the board really worked on marketing, use the whole watermelon. So use the rind as well as eat the flesh.
How do you use the rind?
So you can pickle the rind, you can saute the rind. So the options are endless.
I had no idea about the rind, so I'm going to try to do my part and not throw away the rind in my watermelon anymore.
Please do.
Look, you changed the life of one person, okay? You let me know that I could pickle my rind and I'd be all about that because I love everything pickled. Yes. That's so interesting. I think that the research aspect of what you guys do is probably very interesting too. And oftentimes when I'm sitting at association meetings or things like that, I'll be listening and I'm like, most of the time the research is way over my head. I'm like, what is going on? When they're talking about that scientific research, but it sounds like the National Watermelon Promotion Board is also doing similar things. So you guys are probably doing that scientific, helping the farmers grow better watermelon. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So there's research, you know, on disease related issues. There's research on, you know, nutritional value, mm-hmm. What vitamins are found in a watermelon. There's research about, you know, the watermelon is 92% water and, you know, it's a great source for hydration. There's research about watermelon being in, you know, cosmetics. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's all over my head too. So when we have those meetings and I have to listen, you know, they really have to dumb it down to me because I have no idea what half the words mean.
Yeah. Especially not coming from ag. Like you had no idea how this farming thing went. And then now you're in it and you're like, hold on a minute. Can you back that up?
And, you know, and I'm only 8 years into this job and I feel some days I'm thinking, what am I doing? I have no idea what is going on, but I'm learning and I'm trying and, you know, I guess that's what it's about, finding your passion and continually growing from that. So
yeah, the will to learn is more important than what you know.
Absolutely.
And that's like my life motto, because I promise you, if they would have looked at my qualifications before they give me this job, they wouldn't have given it to me. But my will to learn about it was the reason I got it, right? Like, I'm just going to do the best I can and learn everything I can and soak up every connection that I can. And you and I had a preliminary phone call and you said that on the call, that you just stuck your hand up when nobody else would. And you were like, yeah, I want to know. Teach me that. Tell me a little bit about that experience, like even at work, just saying, hey, I want to be a part of this. Like, teach me. Like, did you have to fight for that or was it easy?
A little bit. Yeah. So there was someone else here working and we worked alongside each other. And I just, you know, the first year I kind of stood back, I guess you would say, because I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was going on. So I kind of used that opportunity to figure some things out. And that person never really wanted to move any further. And I did. So once I realized that person was completely content with where they were in their position at the company, you know, I was like, okay, well, I don't want to step on any toes. Now I know that I'm not. So I'm going to do this. And so I just went to my boss and I said, hey, I'm really starting to enjoy this. I'm developing this passion for this. And, you know, will you teach me everything that you know? And, you know, and it was really every day, well, why? Or how did you figure that out? Or what is that? I don't even know what that means. Yeah. And still today, I just had a palette tutorial.
Palette tutorial. I love it.
About 2 days. I mean, you know, I'm still learning, you know, constantly, but anyways, I had to order some palettes and because there's a palette shortage going on. And I was like, well, I don't even know what a two-way palette is. Like, what is that? He was like, well, you see a two-way palette all the time. And I'm like, okay, well, what is it? And he's like, well, this is what it is. You know, so we had to go and take a look at the palette, measure it, and do the whole thing. So it's just asking those questions constantly, continually, and not being afraid to ask the questions.
You just hit the nail on the head. I was going to actually say that, the will to not be afraid, right? Like, most people get stuck when they're working in a place of like, I'm scared to ask because I don't want to look dumb and I don't want them to think I'm stupid. So I'm not going to ask and I'm just going to pretend I know, and it's going to hurt everybody in the long run. So to have that, like, hey, I don't understand. I mean, I try to do that, but there's still times I'm like, no, I'm going to shut up and Google that when I get home because I don't want to say it.
I do that.
Yes.
Now, don't get me wrong. I do that a lot.
Yes.
Do not get me wrong.
If you can't find it on Google, then it's definitely time to raise your hand and ask, right?
That's so true.
I used to say in college all the time, Dr. Google got me through. Like, I would always Google stuff before I would ask about it. So I love that you have a company that you work for that is so, they're so willing to teach you, because that's the only way that this industry is going to continue to grow, is if we're passing on what we know to someone else who can then take what we know and add to it and even know more than we know. I think that's the ultimate key. Would you agree?
I completely agree with that statement. Absolutely.
I love it. Is there anything special going on or new on the horizon for the National Watermelon Promotion Board that you can think of that maybe is like sticking out to you?
So there is something new that's really, 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 really cool. We're partnering with the movie Luca. So it's a movie that's coming out this summer, and it's going to have watermelon in it. And so that's been a really big deal for the board and just for the industry as a whole. Highlighting watermelon in a kid's movie is huge. So there will be some advertising and things like that that happen there.
So it sounds like there's so much more to the watermelon industry than farming. We're debuting in children's movies now. So
right.
That just keeps you busy, I guess. It keeps everything exciting. Not the same mundane things every day.
That's right.
I do want to ask you, this is normally my wrap up question. I love to ask people this. It really just tells a lot about the career that they choose and all of that. What is your favorite part about your job?
My favorite part about my job. Wow, there are so many things.
Sometimes it stumps people.
That definitely stumps me. My favorite part about my job. I would say that the people, the product and the people. And I think I said this earlier, talking about my first year and how the people and the atmosphere and the product just kept pulling me in. And so I think it's the product is, I mean, it's just a cool, fun, creative, awesome, nutritious product. And it's, so it's easy to have a passion for it. And it's easy to love it. And, so that makes my job easier because I love the product so much. And the people, you know, I just learn so much every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something new in this industry. And it's because of the people that I work with. It's the people that I talk to on a daily basis, whether it's, you know, another grower shipper or someone on the board. It doesn't matter. Or it could be, you know, a pallet company. I don't know. But either way, you know, I'm learning. Yeah, I'm learning and I'm growing. And I think that's what finding a career that you're passionate about. I think that, you know, that's part of it, is you learn and you grow. And you figure out your why.
Yeah. Oh, so good. I just did a meeting with our sales team here, and my whole like thesis behind my meeting was know your why. Know why you're here, why we do what we do. And so that you said that just made it a full circle week for me to really know why I do what I do. And you said the product and the people just pulled you in. I did want to talk about that for just a second. It's probably the listeners that we have on this podcast, most of them are normally involved in ag. So when you say that to someone else that's involved in agriculture, when you say that the product and the people pull you in, I think that everyone else gets it. Like, we get it, because the same thing happened to me. I mean, I was not born in ag. I do not have family involved in ag. My family is rooted in agriculture, but my parents had nothing to do with any type of production ag. And when I showed a pig in middle school, it was over. They were like, game over. Here she goes. So it just captivated me. It pulled me in and it captivated me. Oh yeah. The pig. I mean, it's the pallets for you and the pigs for me. So
we're doing great.
Yeah. Okay. The last thing, and I know I said this last time, but it's fun talking to you. The last thing is one piece of advice for someone in your shoes that may be completely new to not only agriculture, but to a crop or an industry. What is a piece of advice that you would give them moving forward?
I think it would be what we just kind of talked about, you know, knowing your why, what's your purpose, you know, what drives you. And then once you know that, you know, you're connecting with what you're passionate about. It's, you know, it's something that's bigger than you are. I think it's kind of like a skill meets passion, so to speak, idea kind of thing. And so, you know, once you know your why, you know, you can hurdle any obstacles, whether you know about it or don't know about it, but if you're passionate about it, you'll figure it out. I think it's knowing your why.
So can you share just maybe a piece of your why? Why do you do what you do?
I have my own little motto that actually I say it at the end of every yoga class before I say namaste. I say, live simply, love fiercely, and accept what is. And so that's my why.
I love that.
I just try to do that every day. Some days aren't as easy as others, but
we all try.
I try to tell myself that, my own little motto, mantra type thing. So
that's awesome. I love that you said, do you say that at the end of your yoga class? Because I have way too much ADD to do yoga. Like, I just can't sit still that long. So I feel like you're probably the only person that I can do yoga with. Probably the only one.
You come to one of my yoga classes and we'll do a power flow and I will make you sweat. And
okay, I could do that.
A whole new idea about yoga.
Oh yeah, I could definitely do that. When I'm up there visiting customers, I'm going to definitely have to come see you do some yoga together.
Please do. I would love that.
All right. Well, thanks, Jordan, so much for chatting with us. It was really cool just to hear your story and hear how influential you've been in an industry that's so new to you. I'm so thankful for women like you.
Thank you, and you as well. This has been amazing. So thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye.